So pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, oh, you're shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Oh, holy, holy, holy.
Glory.
You are holy, holy.
Amen and amen and amen. And I want to see him, don't you? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to have a time. We're kind of a little bit different today, and first time for everything, I guess. But we still go right on down the road. Everything will be right on line and in order. So we just commit it all to him. And I'll just, you've already requested prayer for him, but remember each one, Sister Gail, they, you know, I don't know where they put her out of the hospital, but they had to remove her, you know, from being with Brother Dick and all like that. And a lot of those things are starting to work down from that and getting crowded in the hospitals and things, I'm sure. So, you know, just pray for them. I know she's at home and concerned about him. But pray to the Lord would bless him. He's still having a lot of trouble. And I'll remember the others. Remember Brother Al. Remember Brother Collie. Remember all of these. And just pray to the Lord would bless each one. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Let's turn to Ephesians 5, and we'll try to pick up back two or three messages backward, you know, to speak on today. It's, like I said, it's different. Here we are speaking here. The church is at home, but we're trying our best to comply with what, you know, everybody's saying and doing our part to where that we can say, well, okay, you know, We're helping to what we can, trying to control all of this sicknesses, and just remember the people around the world. I mean, because, you know, this thing is striking not just a few; it's striking around the world. Nations are, you know, it's horrible. So we just pray and keep praying. The Lord would bless. All right, the Lord willing, Brother Bob will be ministering Wednesday. So we'll be putting into that. Just keep right on going with our regular routine services and things and, you know, doing the best that we can do, okay? Ephesians 5. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace and your love. Thank you for the day and the hour that we have. Thank you for you. We just ask you to guide each one, Lord. Be with us. Be with the people around the world and touch each one, Lord. Bring this old flu or whatever it's called, whatever the demon is, it's the devil. Bring it to its finishing, complete it out and wipe out these things from all of the world, because the whole world is in dire need of help. We ask you to just bless and guide. Remember all of the sick ones among us and just touch each one. Forgive us of our sins and lead us by thy grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Hey, we're having to speak to them out there. You just think, you know, we can say what we want to today because the sisters are at home viewing in. But just remember, they can get their day back. So, you know, all right. Okay. Yeah. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, now coming down to us that are here, what? Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Now, remember what he's doing, and that's what he's going to say here in a minute. He's just describing husband and wife. but he's really speaking of Christ in the church. All right, we all know and familiar with that, but I want you to get this part. See, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love your wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's typing it, but he's speaking of Christ and the church. All right? What is it? This is a great mystery. All right? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and his wife see that she reverence her husband. You may be seated. The Lord added his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as I said, we want to try to cover back, and because we've been off services and different things, but I want to kind of tie in the thought back to a couple of two or three weeks ago when we were ministering. Because, see, Paul is saying here that he's describing a husband and a wife and their relationship and their life together and their things and how it should be. And he said, now I'm speaking of Christ in the church. All right, I'm bringing it down to Christ in the church, and it's a mystery. Amen. So now remember the last thought we were bringing, that there's a mystery involved in this that's more than just, I was trying to express then that, you know, it is true in the Bible that there's a mystery there of the ingrafting of the Gentiles. All right, them coming in, that's a mystery. That was not known in the Old Testament. Even though the people could read, they couldn't know it, couldn't see it correctly. But once it starts unveiling then, now, that's my whole point. Once it started unveiling, when you come into Jesus Christ and the crucifixion, you know, and the different things, and then the life coming, and then here you come with the Apostle Paul picking up the Old Testament to express from that Old Testament what is taking place actually there in the book of Acts and during that period of time and all of the things. And he's describing Christ in the church as a mystery. He knew of the ingrafting of the Gentiles. Paul knew of that, spoke of it in the scriptures there, and describing it, that there was a great mystery there that was not known, as I said, down through the Old Testament. But once it was, began to be revealed through Jesus Christ and then the disciples, and then Peter Paul turning to the Gentiles and Peter going on to the Jews, that was not a division in the basis of troubles and problems. It was just a separation in the basis that it would bring Paul to this is the way I see it. It would bring Paul out in the open, would say it. He would raise up because he would see, you know, he's seen the mystery. He could look back. He had that Old Testament background. He had that studies of the scriptures and things that he had done. All right, then all it took was just a few little clicks, as we call it, a few little points hit in his mind. And first thing you know, he's covering the whole Old Testament. Then he can look back and see. And he can see that Abraham was a Gentile. See, because you didn't have that. You didn't have the word Jew till you come over about the second Kings, I believe it is, where he comes into the tribe of Judah. All right? And, you know, then you wouldn't have a description of dividing between Jew and Gentile. But there just wasn't no Gentile back in the Old Testament put in front of the line. Now you have little points. You have Rahab, the harlot. You have the different things that happens in that, and like I said, you have them looking back, and as Paul looks back there and sees that, he says, there's a mystery. Or he describes a mystery. that the ingrafting of the Gentiles was a great mystery. Well, I like that because, see, that's what we are. We're the Gentiles. I like our part of knowing that we are in the Scriptures and was spoke of back there, but yet it had to wait until, and really, in a complete point, it would have to wait until the end time to come forth to fully understand the Gentiles. You know, Paul brought it out and described it and all, but yet in the end time, when the prophet came to bring the message, then we could begin to see the situation that existed of the Gentiles coming into a certain position. And what I mean by that certain position is what I tried to explain then. That, see, when Paul, as I said, bringing that Gentile dispensation, he could describe that. He could, say this about it and speak to us of the mysterious parts. But still, there was something left for the end time. That this prophet would pick it up and bring it in to and show then and bring in the bride and bring in. Then you can look at all those types and shadows. Now you can look at all the Old Testament. You can compare it with the New Testament. You can see the Gentiles coming in and you can see those things do it. But remember, the Gentiles were not coming in until it come to a certain spot. Even though you begin, now follow the point, you begin the day of Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost coming forth and all, but those were Jews. All right? Even into the book of Acts, the prophet said those were basically Jews with maybe just a little here and younger of a few Gentiles in and brought in. Why? Because it was still a mystery. All right? So Paul picks that up and he brings it out and begins to describe the mystery. All right? Then holding that mystery would be, then as that would be, we followed it, like I've always told you. We Baptists, we preach to the Gentiles being engrafted in. We preach adoptions. We preach things like that. Some of those people back there had pretty decent understanding. You could read Scofield's writings. You could bring in the different things and have a pretty good understanding. But you wouldn't see the real thing. Now, here's the real thing, and I've come up to it now, so we're going to drop the bombshell and then back to, okay? See, to me, what I'm trying to describe the mystery of the ingrafting of the Gentiles is not just an ingrafting of Gentiles. See? But it is coming to a point that, as we've read from Paul saying, I'm speaking concerning Christ in the church. All right? Showing that the church... All right, now what was our last thoughts as we were on through the message a couple of two or three weeks ago? See, the bride is part of the mystery. Amen. All right, now we can follow that. We can comprehend it, see, and get our thoughts onto that. But just remember, the bride is part of the mystery. Amen. All right, now here's the thing to me is the mystery of it all. So you go over to the book of Revelation and it says, you know, that they would be a mystery there in about the 10th chapter. And it would come down to the mystery. The mystery, singular. Amen. What is the mystery, singular? Amen. That the bride of Jesus Christ, Jew, Gentile, whatever the makeup we are, because it come into that through Christ, Amen. Is to the point that we are the thing that has to finish this all up. Amen. All right? Then finishing it up, then the mystery. Yes. The mystery is that he's going to reveal you. Amen. Now, get that point, and then we'll back up into, and you'll see the day that we're living and what the prophet tried to do and the thing, hopefully. But see, the mystery to me is all of those things, Gentiles coming in, all those things happening, but each one of them left just a little bit of understanding. Amen. The great apostle Paul could bring that mystery in, and he could bring it into the Gentile dispensation. But yet he could not see the finishing up because he didn't know the seals. He didn't know those things that would be later to come on. See, that would be part of the mystery. Because to me, it takes the seals to open to reveal the mystery. That's the mystery I'm talking about. Is those seals opening brings the revelation of Jesus Christ to a complete revelation, fullness, bringing it to all, finishing it up, and we'll bring a rapture. We'll do those things because it's the mystery of Jesus Christ. All right? But the great mystery is the seals, now follow me, the seals not only reveal Jesus Christ. See, now, it's, you know, I'm sorry for saying it in the wrong way, but seemingly to me, the people of the message, they can get Jesus Christ out of the seals. They can talk about those things, but they never bring it back to themselves.
That's right. Amen.
Right. Yeah. Now, that's where I think they're missing the mystery. I don't want us to miss it. I've tried my best to preach it for 40 years. That the mystery is the engrafting or bringing into existence the real mystery that all of that typed and set in motion and brought into order and has it brings into order now in the last days. Through the opening of the seals, we see the bride of Christ. See, the seals don't just... follow me now. I don't mean they don't reveal. The seals is not to just say the revelation of Jesus Christ as the person, as the one true and living God. All of that's there, but it goes into the greater mystery, which would bring in the bride of Jesus Christ. See, then it would bring and show who we are and what we're doing. What we're doing here, we're here to finish this up.
Amen.
All right? And if, now listen, if she is part of the mystery, we'll read it in a minute from Christ the Mystery. If she is part of the mystery, then she's got to be revealed.
Amen.
That's all that I've ever tried to say. It doesn't mean that we will be revealed. It doesn't mean that you will be made known. All right, that's good. But it means that you got to be made known. You are the finishing up of all things. The bride of Jesus Christ finishes this whole mystery. All that's throughout the Bible ends in summing up into a group of people who will take the Word of God, hold that Word, declare it to be there, but to see that she's that part. Now, that's what I said a minute ago now. See, the people can handle maybe Jesus in the seals or Jesus Christ in the seals or they're seeing the Godhead and a different thing. But what about seeing the Godhead in the correct order?
Amen.
What about seeing it, as we'll read in a minute, we get to it. If it don't, we'll quote them. We've got them here. The bride being part of the mystery... You know, then he's not complete, Brother Branham said, without you. No, we say, no, we're not complete. No. See, that's all right. We know that. We ought to know we're not worth nothing. But the thing of it is, if she's part of the mystery, then she's got to be revealed. All right? And when she's revealed, it's revealed that to where the prophet says it so drastically that he, or the Godhead, is not complete without you.
Amen.
All right. That should be the thing that is prevalent into all of our minds is the thinking of how much he thinks of me and you. That he thinks enough to put within us all of the Word, the message, the seals, the things, and bring it out to reveal, yes, Jesus being the Christ, but to reveal where he's at.
Amen. Right.
And what he's doing.
Right.
All right. See, now, if Paul is correct, saying it that way, we know he is, but if Paul is correct that he's speaking of Christ in the church, but describing it as a husband and wife situation and bringing it down, even to from more than just being a husband and wife, but being so much that we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He's going all the way back to the Old Testament, bringing it all the way down and laying it down within to where that you and I are at. The mystery. See? Can you read the seal book and see the bride of Christ? Come on. You got your lion, your ox, your man, and the eagle.
Amen.
Right.
Now, we know Jesus Christ is to be revealed, but get the point of what I'm trying to emphasize to us. We're in the day when all things is to be made known. All right, we look out here in the world. Not to say much about that, because that's nothing to us. I don't even, that doesn't enter the situation. But to see the world was pitiful, horrible, the way it's going. But yet to say that we could stand back 40, 50 years ago and hear in a prophet. Now, a lot of the people that are listening today were literally set under the ministry of the prophet. Literally saw and were there when the dead was raised, the sick was healed, and the things that happened. All right, then you can associate with the fact of Brother Branham saying that the ministry of Jesus Christ is back exactly like it was when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee. All right. But now let's don't stop there. See, you can come up to a point and cabbage down on something and fail to really move on in all things. So then where is it being tied together? My point, if we are the bride of Christ, then the bride of Christ is flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone.
Amen.
That's
right.
Amen. And he's now revealing her.
Amen.
All right, Brother Branham was part of the bride of Christ. Come on, right?
Amen.
We look at it in a way I preach hard. Sometimes people back up from that. Brother Branham was part of the bride of Christ. He was a member of the bride of Christ. He was a born-again believer. Sure, he was a prophet. He was all of those things. But he was also, the way I love him, you know, the way he said that New Testament preacher, he said he's just a preacher. Said, you know, a prophet, said he's just a preacher. Well, he ain't belittling it. He's putting it in the correct order, but it sounds like he's belittling the ministry. No, he's describing the ministry. And he was constantly, I'll give you these over and over, constantly referring to the ministry of Jesus Christ would have to be here.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I said back there, and that's what I've always said. We can look at Brother Branham. Amen. We see the ministry of Jesus Christ repeat. Maybe some of us didn't see him physically, but we see him by way of the tapes, the things, you know. And we see him, that God was using him to bring the same ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ had.
Amen.
All right. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ went on beyond Paul and them, right? Because the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24 preached what? The seals. Right? See, then Paul and them never could understand what he was saying, but they knew that he was bringing something. But see, now you and I, by what we see, to me, the something that he was bringing, the something that the Lord Jesus was bringing throughout the Old Testament, something that God was bringing into view, was to try to get the people to realize who they are. That to me is the whole goal of all of it. That to me is the greatest mystery that could be. You say this mystery of Christ, this mystery of that. Oh, ain't it so? Now the mystery of what? Who we are.
Amen. Amen.
Who we are. And the purpose of being here.
Right.
The prophet said it. He said, when the bride begins to say, I and my Father are one. Amen. Watch him. And these other things. I like that one. He said, the shuck will pull away.
Amen.
Well, see, you want to see the shuck pull away? Get into the Word.
Amen.
Oh, well, that's where I love the title of the prophets, the way he titles things. But see, I remember when that was first, we had to, you know, we started getting a few of the tapes back in the 60s there and all, and doing where he would bring out, you know, like, seed shall not be air with a shuck. Well, I remember thinking. I thought, now, if I preach that message, I'd say the shuck is not air with the seed. You know. But I got to thinking about what he's saying. the seed shall not be heir with a shuck. The shuck is going to the ground. The shuck is going to the tribulation. The bride's not going. So the bride's not going to be, that seed is not going to be heir with the shuck. It's the shuck that pulls away. It's not the seed. The shuck pulls away to unveil the seed. That's why I ask you to read the Mighty God Unveiled, and then, or the Unveiling of God, and then the Mighty God Unveiled. And we'll try to get into a few things and maybe pick up something into the seed shall not be heir with a shuck and all like that. You know, the manifest masterpiece, the different ones. Because my goal is my thoughts. Like I said, a person asked me, Brother Russ Dunkard asked me the other day, he said, where is your thinking? What are you thinking? You know, what is your sayings? You know, what are you bringing right now? I said, one thing for certain. I believe in things being positive. So right now, now listen to the wording and listen correctly. The ministry of Jesus Christ was back there. Right? But not on the way it come forth when he walked on earth. It began to unfold what he was coming to do. All right, what was he coming to do? Oh, he was coming to preach this, preach that. Well, if the bride is part of the mystery. Come on, church. If the bride is part of the mystery, she's got to be revealed.
Amen.
It ain't if she may be. She's got to be revealed. But no, I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Well, you don't understand what I'm saying. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
But I'm looking for him in feminist form.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm looking for him in the Christ.
Yeah,
I'm looking for him in the point of who he is really one with.
Yeah.
And you just think, it just started on the day of Pentecost. It's to end here, but to end in what? To end in me and you.
Right, right.
All right? So the prophet would constantly say, we have the same ministry that Jesus Christ had.
Amen.
Well, all right. People can take it. And I've even went to Forrest to try to say it. You can say, well, that was in Brother Branham. That's good. Because that was where it was at. It was there. But now take what was there and put it what is here now. Now you're coming to where the shuck's going to pull away when you begin to say, I and my Father are one. What did they do to the Lord when he declared I and my Father are one? They crucified him. What do you think they're going to try to do to you when you're telling them you're his bride? And that they are declaring, are manifesting to the point of showing that they're not the bride. They're the shuck that's pulling away. And that's the danger stage, see? It's like, well, he's preaching on sanctification, you know, and stuff like that. That's the danger part.
Amen.
Is for us to come to a place that we can talk about something being real to us, but it not being reality.
Amen.
There's the danger.
Right?
Right? See, when I declare, and I've always tried to preach it for 40 years at least, that the bride of Jesus Christ would be the Word made flesh.
Amen.
The first sermon I preached in 1969 was what? The bride of Jesus Christ is the Son of Man.
Amen.
I believe that. How much more do you think I believe it today than I did then? Because we only had a few things to go for. We had a few books, a few tapes. We didn't have anything to declare, you know. And I had to speak it just from my own point, a lot of it. And you ought to have seen it with the people in the church. And, you know, they were just, I mean, I said, look, Brother Branham was not. See, their thoughts, Brother Branham's the Son of Man. We've had Brother Branham now. You talk to the people of the message, especially some of the older returns and the different things. They're going to declare, we've had this, we've had that. Okay. I go along with it. We've had it. But we didn't have the completion. If you'll go along with me that the Old Testament never brought forth Jesus Christ in a complete fullness until the day of Pentecost. You know, it had to come to Pentecost. It couldn't just be in the Old Testament. If you go with me, I'll go with you on the other. See, that's where now. But to me, see, that's a mystery. And I remember the first time that after coming into the message, I remember listening to a tape and just thinking, this man, you've heard me tell it. I was looking for something positive. And here comes a man talking about the God that I had seen when I was 10, 11 years old. That's not exalted to tell that. It's just telling the truth. But see, it didn't stop there. Had it stopped there, it wouldn't have been truth. It would have been part truth. See? If we get the mystery of Christ as being into being and find it to where we can bring it into the bride, now we're getting to the place that we can walk on what we're talking about. Now we're not concerned with what the world is doing and what's taking place. We're concerned as human beings about the sicknesses and the things like that. But these other things, they're just part of what's got to be. I mean, they're doing the best they can do. You say, yeah, but they're shutting down these big companies. Well, they're doing the best they can do to try to get rid of that flu, bug, or whatever you call it. All right? But you understand what I'm saying? If the bride is part of the mystery, what is it to be revealed? What is to be revealed? You saw the bride to be revealed. Okay, we got that now. But who's the bride? If he was the Son of Man, right? If Jesus Christ was the Son of Man, and we would declare he was, right? All right, then where's the flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone? See? That's got to be in bride form. That's my point. The mystery that we are in, supposed to be dealing with in our day and time of whatever we're here is God in bride form. Well, yeah, but Brother Dale, that's just a little bit. No, it's not enough. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Because if you'll take it, it's the title of the sermon. Brother Branham in Jeffersonville, Indiana, preached the unveiling of God. And you read that and you listen to it. He put his whole emphasis. Very little is said about the bride or anything. His whole emphasis is based upon the unveiling of God. Uh-huh. Then he turns and goes to Philadelphia, I think it is. I forgot where. But just shortly thereafter, he preached a message called The Mighty God Unveiled. Now, read that message and look into it, and you'll find that he spent not as much time describing the one God of this being, you know, not being three and not being this and not being that and different, you know, and describing as he did in the unveiling. Now he's describing something else. Why? Where that God went?
That's right,
man. The mighty God unveiled. See? Showing where he went. Where did he go? On the day of Pentecost, he come right back down into the bride and begin to declare those things. All right. And see, that's what I've been trying to get us to see. All right. This the statements. Let's just read a few of them. They've got these to go, and we'll pick up a little bit because this is what I want you to see. I want you to see that that we're part of the mystery and got to be revealed. All right? Fine, wonderful. Say it again where everybody will understand. It's what I had to do in Athens when I was saying that the bride of Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. I constantly said, Brother Branham was not the prophet. Brother Branham was a prophet. Do you understand? Yeah. In a minute, I'd come back and that thing would go, pow. You know, just like slapping you in the face. And I'd say, listen, folks, now, understand, Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Now, I'm not the one that made these statements that I got written in my Bible right in the front that I keep with me, where Brother Branham said, the bride is the Son of Man. That's a great mystery. It's a bride. You realize? If he's the Son of Man, we're the Son of Man.
Amen.
See? Not making us different, making us what we're supposed to be. But all right, let's just read a few of these. Go ahead to standing in the gap because we got. Let's take the first one. All right, this is from Sirs We Would See Jesus. As the church, like the pyramid, comes into a point, so as the church in the days of Luther, days of Wesley, days of Pentecostal, and now just before the headstone comes into it, that church has to be honed. Now notice, he didn't say, maybe it will be, hopefully it will be. I like his positive statements. What did he say? The headstone comes into the church, has to be honed so perfect, till the same ministry that he did here, his same spirit so predominant. In other words, right here. All right, let me state what I'm saying over and over. We can look back. We can look back in the Bible and see the ministry of Jesus Christ. All right? We can look back into the end time where the prophet was preaching the message and bringing it forth to us. We can look back to there and say that was God made manifest in a human being, not the man being God. No. God was using a man. But then we stop when we see, and it bounces back at you when you say, how about now when he's using men? What about now when he's using women? When he's bringing forth his bride. All right, we've seen that. We glory in what the prophet has done. What I glory is right. He says, something's got to happen to the church by this message that will hone the people. That will bring us to a position of Jesus Christ. All right, go ahead and get the next one. Standing in the gap. He's talking about the Pentecostal message, right in the middle of it, going on there. Will bring the church to such a minority, and a ministry will be among those people till it'll be exactly the same ministry that Jesus Christ did. That brings Jesus and catch the whole thing. Right. Yeah, but Brother Dale, that's Brother Branham. Brother Branham had the ministry of Jesus Christ. See, everybody would agree to that. Look at this and look at that. Amen. But now he's going to the church with it. Right? Look at the next one. Watchmen, what of the night? And what's he doing? He's reflecting the same light of the sun that went down years ago and is rising again. What is that true church's ministry? Right? What is the true church's ministry? The ministry of that church will be the ministry of the sun because it's a reflection of the same sun power and the same sunlight that the world would know when the sun rises. Same ministry. Reflecting his coming. If you're going down into that message. He said he's here tonight doing the same thing. Okay. I praise God for that. See, everybody don't understand me when I'm sorry to even have to mention it in a way to where people think you're against what they're saying. But see, I believe in a return ministry. I do. Because I believe Brother Branham's going to rise from the dead. And according to him and his message, after the resurrection, there can be a 30-40 day period. Are we going to just sit around? Hey, you know, resurrection's come. Glory. Okay, glory. No. It's going to be a rejoicing time. You say, are you thinking he can go across the country? All of that, just, you get all of that in your mind and you study it all out and you decide what you believe it is. I'm just telling you that he's going to raise. And he can preach to us for 30-40 days. We can have great services and wonderful things. Glory. But you remember, we got to get him here first. That's the only thing that I've ever said. What do you think? Well, no, he's no. That's where. See, everybody's got to. We got to go through this room. We got to do this. We got to do that. Putting in their own thoughts about what it is, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of seeing just what he said.
Amen. That's right.
The same ministry of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
What is that true church's ministry?
Yeah.
What is the true church's ministry? Well, it's going to start with the fivefold ministry, so that's going to be downgrading to most people, right? Because they don't want it to there. They want it to start to... I start with Brother Branham and then to come to the fivefold ministry. Brother Branham had the message. Amen. We agree with it. He's the one that brought the message. But now it's got to be delivered through the fivefold ministry. He said, take these and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. That's all I've ever looked for. See? And that way, then I don't have to worry about it, but I'm not sitting down twiddling my thumbs. Well, one of these days, one of these days, one of these days. No, because I've always said one thing. I told the church this one time, and I meant it. I said, if Brother Branham came right out here in front of this building, put up a tent, and et cetera, because these were tent believers, I said, you wouldn't know what he's talking about. Well, that hurt. I'm sorry. But it was as best that I could say it. I said, because the reason you wouldn't know what he said, you don't know what he's already said.
Right, right.
I said, that's all I'm saying. Because I had just proved it, because I had quoted to this some people standing there, and this brother, he said, that ain't right, Brother Dale. Brother Branham didn't say that. I said, he said, I just listened to the tape the other day, and I know he didn't say it. I said, but brother, he did. I said, I'll bring you the book. Well, when I brought the book, I said, read. That was word for word what I had said. I wasn't against anything. I was just trying to show the people. I say it to Lula right now today, speaking to you, because that's who I'm talking to. What's holding off the coming of the Lord is you and I.
Right?
We're getting a chance now, and I thank God for it, to prove the side you're standing on.
Amen.
To where that people come, as I said, Wednesday, it was like 60 here. And a lot of people couldn't come, you know. But there were like 60 people. I didn't say we wouldn't go to house services, or that we were going to house services or wouldn't go to have it. I just left it. And if we'd have left it totally open, the building would be full today. I believe that. Because the people are getting to the point of seeing, hey, this is us.
Right. This is us.
Amen. But if we get along with the government and agree with your adversary quickly and all of that, which is scriptural, right, then we do what they say.
Right.
We have the small amounts. We do the thing. But yet we put it on the internet. It's not going to end what I preach.
Right. But
it's not going. I'm not going to beat the government to death. I'm not going to beat the Catholic to death. It's not time. It's time to beat me and you to death.
Amen.
For us to stand up and say, all right, we're here.
Amen.
This out here in the land of West Proven, it's got to be the plagues and the things that are happening. It's here. How long that's going to be? They're saying now there could be 2 or 3 more months or you know, they maybe not even have school till the end of the year or different things. My Lord, church, you realize what this is doing to the economy? Well, I told you there on the other Wednesday, This is the beginning of the end. But let's don't count this as to be the end and be such a doom days until we can't be and rejoicing in Christ and saying, hey, we've been looking forward to some of these things. The way things are tightening up. Preached of it 40, 50 years ago, how it was coming. Well, that to me was the ministry was back there. Brought it correctly. So let's go ahead a few bit more and then we'll. Hey, we can take all day today, can't we? Okay. Let's see. We're on number 3, 4. Yeah, let's go to number 4. Roll it on up where you can see in the other one. I'll read it. The same ministry that he was here when he was leading Christ, the same way, the same ministry Christ had is in his church tonight. Okay? I can say was in Brother Branham as he was standing there. That's all right. I do. But now in bride form. Amen. To complete the mystery. Amen. Because the mystery was not to end, now listen, the mystery was not to end in Jesus back there. No. It would have to end in bride form. Amen. All right? Now it wasn't to end in Brother Branham when he was back there. It's to end in bride form. Amen. But listen, that's what I tried to get you to see. Listen, Brother Branham was part of the bride.
Yeah.
He wasn't Jesus, but he was part of the bride. He's part of this mystery. So we can look back and see the mystery of the things and the happenings and what he preached and things. And see that he preached these marvelous mysteries. But it's to end in the bride.
Amen.
In bride form. Okay, listen. I get tied up looking one or the other. Same ministry Christ had is in his church tonight. Same signs, same wonders, same spirit, same kind of works that Jesus did here on earth. The church has to do the same thing. If it's not, it's not the seed of Abraham. So if you don't believe Christ is with us, living in his bride form in the last day, then do you understand what he's saying? You're not the seed of Abraham. See? You're not the bride of Christ. Go ahead. Let's see, what do we got? Number 5. And when Jesus returns, now listen. Let's see, what is it, scripture? Will he find faith when he returned? Will he find faith? I remember mentioning that to Brother Moat one day, and he got up and he said, think. Will he find any faith? Because the faith is in you and me.
All right?
Listen. And when Jesus returns, he'll find a church that's washed, without spot or wrinkle, and it'll be the same ministry he had. It'll bring back the headstone.
Amen.
Same ministry that he had. All right? Go ahead. Going up where we can see a little bit further. It's got to be that. All right? Well, now. Then there will come a message. Oh, hallelujah. We know that same pillar of fire that led Israel. We know that the same ministry that accompanied Jesus Christ by the pillar of fire that had him anointed is accompanying the church today. Okay. I'm going to amen and start it here. Put that in Brother Branham and his message and him delivering it, okay? But bring it on to the bride form.
Amen.
Bring it on to the complete mystery. That's all I've ever asked and all I've ever tried to preach. Don't just stop here. But don't look so far out yonder till you can't see it either. Because you'll overlook the whole thing. Look, he said science has proved it. Now, this is back when he was talking about the clouds, the different things, all right. But now look, this is what I like. Science has proved it. We don't need that. Well, we don't need science proving it. We believe it. Wonderful for it to be done. But we don't need that that way. Listen, we don't need that. God's proved it.
That's right.
See, it's proved in our hearts and lives. That's all I've ever tried to preach as a personal revelation to each and every one of us.
Amen.
See? Because, listen, if Bob is part of the bride of Christ, you know that Bob's got to be revealed. But he don't have to be revealed like we're making reveal to put him out here to do this or that or the other. No. He's doing it himself in what he's doing. He's proving his own self in what he's doing. Is that hard to believe? Well, Brother Dale, we got the ability now. We can just cut you off. Okay, that's all right. No problem. I'm just joking. Because you're not going to do it. Said, we need the ministry of Jesus Christ to fit that headstone coming yonder that's brought the church into a place to where the ministry is exactly like it was when Jesus Christ left. Okay. Now, say it again. We've seen that in Brother Branham. No problem. We've seen that. The same ministry of Jesus Christ. We've seen that. The dead raised, the sick healed. The thing. Right. But now bring it on over to... See? Now, may I say it in this way without you misunderstanding me? See, he spoke of the bride. If you don't want to, if you want to listen to a message, go to spoken word is the original seed. And read it over and over. Two messages, remember? He says in there, talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said it brings it back exactly like it was in the beginning. He said, I've never seen that before. That baptism of the Holy Ghost, brother, into your heart brings you back exactly the way you should have been in the beginning.
Amen.
That's how much I thank for the bride of Christ.
Amen.
I'm not looking for the world and what it's doing. That's all natural. But to find a people that are believing who they are. Brother Brown said, when the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for, said she'll be an invincible army. Amen. Who is she? She's him.
Amen.
That's my whole point. That's all that I'm trying to do. Because... All right, let's go on. Let's see, what do we get to? Go down to number 7, okay? Roll it up just a little where we can see. Down, ever how you going. Look. Now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church. How much more simple? Now, may I say it correctly? We understand? Brother Branham was not a prophet outside. He was in the basis of his ministry and the way it was used in the thing. I believe he was above the fivefold ministry. I go with you there because he was in the one prophet that was predestinated to come to this position. All right, I'll go with you there. But just remember, that's got to come into the church.
Amen.
Okay? Brother Branham didn't say, my message, look how it's, now listen to what I'm saying. Brother Branham never said, look how my message has stirred the world. It's done this and it's done that. He just kept on preaching. But you see, the bride's, when she begins to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, she's going to disturb. Are you looking for a disturbance? Yes, sir. Always been looking for one. Maybe not seeing it, maybe because we're missing it by what we're looking at. But okay, come on, listen. The complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church. The preeminence. All that God was, he poured into Christ. And all Christ was poured into the church. The believers. Now, I'm not making this as a smart eloquent statement, but you know how that's been made. It said, brother, all God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ poured in Brother Branham. He died and took it with him. We ain't had nothing left. You ever heard that statement made? Well, see, I don't agree with that.
Amen.
See? I believe we're here at the end.
Amen.
Okay, let's just read this. Go ahead to number 8. Then the bride body must follow the head, for it is part of his resurrection and part of the mystery. Are you listening? It's impossible for it not to go. Oh my, it's part of God's mystery, how God revealed himself here and raised it up by the word. So he reveals his church and raises it up by the same word. It's a part of his threefold mystery.
Amen.
All God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ in the church, take her back to the Garden of Eden. She's part of the mystery.
Amen.
And see, that's always been my thoughts. I, like I said, somebody asked me one time because they knew I'd preached on the bride being the Son of Man. Said, how do you feel about that now? I said, how do you think I ought to feel? I think more about it today than I did in 1969 when I preached it. Why? The Word made alive is the Son of Man. Right? The Son of Man is that Word made alive. Let's see, I was trying to find that one. Okay, go ahead, number 9. Let's get this and then we'll quit. Okay. You see, if you were in the foreknowledge of God, then you are becoming a part of God. The only way you can be a son of God or a daughter of God, you had to be a part of God. Okay. And God isn't complete without you. Why? Because he imparted himself unto you. You're his wife. That's what he thinks of his wife. He thinks more of his wife than he does his own self. He never bragged on his own self. He always bragged on his wife. The church, the bride. And there was the prophet able to stand there with the gifts and the signs and the wonders and the things. And he would have had the ability to say, listen, do you believe who I am? Because I've got the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, he'd be telling the truth. But how did he say it? He said the ministry of Jesus Christ is here. Bring it into him. He's here. But it's going to be in the church. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful time. Let's see, what was we on? God is not complete without you. It has to be. Because there is one, only one resource of eternal life, and that is God. And him alone has eternal life. See now? And you were a part of him in so much that you're an attribute, or in his thinking in the beginning. And that because he thought of you in the beginning, it gives that little tug toward him. That's what has to be quickened. Some of them will never be quickened. They just don't have it. That's all. I've never thrown off on anybody into what they see or what they preach or anything. The only thing that I've ever said, when are we going to realize who we are? You realize he chose you? He chose me and you. The Bible says we were chosen in him. And he's not complete without me and you. See? Let's really do one more. Let's go to number 10. Get this and then we'll quit. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Then it's germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it, until it is grown and serves its purpose. They do only his will, amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Well, see, I believe we have thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
The prophet's message made alive in you and I, what would be the difference in God saying it or you saying it? If you're his wife, if you're speaking in his place, what's the difference? Yeah, but that's just, no, that ain't enough. See? For it is himself in them continuing his word to fulfill as he, now listen. Listen to this last few statements. As he did complete, now hold that. In his days, all things. When he was here, now watch him. He's correcting it. As he did complete in his day, he never completed all of his work when he was here. But see, we read that and can use that statement apart, but not read the rest of all things. When he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not time yet. Are you following me? He didn't complete it. You know why? Because his wife's going to complete it. His little bride's going to complete it. She's going to be him made manifest. She's going to walk in the word of the hour and believe it. Believe what he says about us is to be true. See, that's all that I've ever tried. Like I said, that brother asked me what was my thought. That's my thought. That's my point has always been a positive attitude about the Word of God. I admit, I'm a human. I've read a lot of things that I didn't know what in the world the prophet was talking about. Hadn't you?
Right.
I mean, maybe a point or a thought right there. You just didn't get it. But you just keep reading and studying, and one day it just comes up. Hey, he was saying the same thing all the time. But it just wasn't being quickened. What about the little bride making God manifest for the last day? Waiting for a wedding in the sky. Come on, musicians. I just pray that those out there on the internet and the things will listen to what I'm saying. Because I know that I try to make statements and I hurt feelings because they think of this or that. I've never had anything to try to hurt anybody's feelings or say, well, I've stood a lot of times standing there with the word to know you could cut a person to pieces with it, but I'll never do it. Because it's not made for that. It's made to preach. It's made to live. It's made to be what he says we're supposed to be. Understand? What do we got, brother? Anybody has a need? Those out on the internet, just remember where you're sitting now. You can reach up and touch God for whatever you have need of. Same as you can here. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Anybody have a need? I am blessed.
I am glad when I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest. I am blessed, right? I am blessed.
One more time before we go. Oh, I am blessed.
What a wonderful time. Realize the whole Bible, the whole message, all that mankind had done for 4,000 years plus the two back in the old of it, is to get the people to realize who they are and what we're here for. So you don't have to raise up and say, boy, Satan, I'll just challenge you. You better be careful that way. Let him challenge you. That's why we didn't raise up when they said this. Well, we got a constitutional right. No. No, we just go along with it because it's right. Trying to help mankind. But when a day comes that they tell you you can't, this or this or that, or try to make you believe a doctrine, then we have to make our stand. Yeah. Then it'll be time because it'll be them challenging us. Don't try to challenge nobody. You better be careful. There was a little old brother, Terrence knew him. I think Wade knew him. Billy Free. He's a big mouth. He was. He was just a big mouth, but I've seen him to where that, a lot of people didn't know him like I did, and so one day some guys was hollering about him and talking about something about him and all, and in just a minute there was a couple of them was needing some plaster work done. Because he was the kind that would back up what he said when he was pushed. Most people didn't know that about him, but I knew him. I knew to leave him alone. I knew he was fast as lightning, and I knew he could whoop. And he did. He whooped a couple of guys there at work. And everybody began to get a little different respect to the old boy. But just remember, my point is what? We don't challenge them. Mm-mm. They challenge us. Because God's on our side.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're starting back at 1 o'clock. So be here and we'll get things to going pretty well like we did. Just, 20 minutes before 1 or something or whatever. And then we'll just have a little bit like we normally do with the services. And to all of you at home, we hope that this has been a good thought and you just pray for us this afternoon.
Right.
That the Lord would bless. Amen. Father, we thank you for these things and we ask you to just guide us. Help us now as we go just to eat a little natural meal and come back together this afternoon to serve you, to be guided by your love. We thank you. And Father, may our attitudes and all may always be positive. And Lord, we see you in the reality. Forgive our sins. Guide us by thy grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.